Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
Pat Iyer, and I am with Joyce Weiss, who is the queen of conflict resolution. I invited her on Legal Nurse Podcast because of her unique perspective in being a coach in the area of conflict resolution. And I shared with Joyce when we had our pre-podcast meeting about some of the sources of conflicts that legal nurse consultants can inadvertently get into with their clients. Joyce, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat. I'm looking forward to, I don't know what the questions are, but this is going to be fun.
Well, first of all, you introduced yourself to me initially as a master coach. I think that there are listeners who don't know what a master coach is. So let's start with that.
Well, let's start with the basics. And there's so many coaches out there. There's a life coach and career coach. So because of all the education and the, I have a master's degree in guidance and counseling. And then over the last 30 years, I belong to a coaching summit where twice a week, I listen to the master coaches, the ones who take our brains, who've been doing this for years, and opening them up to new strategies, new ways to be a better coach. So how can I attract growth-minded clients if I don't do the same thing? So that's the master coach part.
All right, perfect. So it sounds like you've had a lot of training, a lot of experience in this area. Is conflict a pervasive issue in the workforce?
Oh, I didn't mean my eyes to pop like that, but oh, yes. Conflict is, there's healthy conflict and there's unhealthy conflict. Healthy conflict is so good. The problem and everybody that's listening and watching this interview are probably saying, oh my God, I work in the unhealthy. Some of you may be lucky and healthy. Healthy means the leaders know that conflict is good. Healthy is everybody's heard. Well, as a master coach, since we got that over with, what I am, people who are attracted to my particular practice, they're not heard. So that always tells me when people come to me and we have to chisel away to find out exactly what the specifics are, what people need when they need coaching. But in corporate America, there's so much unhealthy conflict that it's bringing people to either leave their jobs, going to coaches, or living a very frustrating life because they don't know how to get out. And that's why hopefully we'll get into some strategies today that your legal nurse consultants, you know, can deal with, because I don't know, some of them aren't healthy, some of them are not healthy.
Can you differentiate for us the difference between healthy and unhealthy?
Yes. Unhealthy. Leaders who don't care anything about their employees. So when an employee comes in and talks about bullying or racial slurs or not being heard, whatever the situation is, or a lawyer that they couldn't deal with. And so the leader will say, hey, I'm paying you, you figure it out. I got my own problems. There's too much of that going on. That's unhealthy. Unhealthy. A fire department that I did a couple years ago was so healthy because the fire chief who hired me, oh, I'm wearing red, so are you. The fire chief who hired me, I knew it was going to be a great, great training because he said, I know we have bullies. So I want you to get in right away and in your opening and say, I know you're out there, men and women, we're going to talk about you and we're going to figure out how dangerous that behavior is. So they let bullying continue. And it's not that these leaders are bad. They may be, but many times they just don't have skills. So they need help, but they don't know that because people in their organization are afraid to tell them, hey, I went to this workshop. Or let's say we come up with some really great ideas today, Pat, and some of your, some of the legal nurse practitioners and consultants are going to pick something up. And if they have a leader who's unhealthy, all this good stuff that you talk about on, you know, with all the interviewees goes out the window. So they're not open. So that's the biggest thing, is when people, I'm going to say that many times, they don't feel heard and they don't know what to do about it because the leadership is empty.
I think the nurse who's listening to this podcast, who's worked in any kind of a healthcare setting, which is probably 100% of the people who are listening, can think of conflicts that have arisen in the workplace. The biggest source of conflicts are nurse to physician and nurse to nurse. It's usually not so much nurse to patients. It's much more the people at the same level or the people above them. If you are thinking from a pure organizational chart perspective, I don't place physicians above nurses philosophically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the power differentials in workplaces tend to make the dynamic that the physicians are bullies and the nurses are the ones who are being bullied. There's been a lot that's been done in healthcare to try to address that, including regulatory standards that say you will not tolerate bullying in a healthcare environment. It's dangerous for the staff. It's dangerous for the patients. But it still exists, and it hasn't been eradicated. I think what surprises nurses when they get into their own business is the fact that they could be bullied by their clients. Mm-hmm. And that's bringing it back to the person who's listening. That's the piece that I'm hoping that you can help us with in terms of what are some concrete strategies that we can use when we get caught up in a conflict, which for Joyce can be as simple as picking up the phone and having an attorney say, I can't believe you sent me this invoice. This is way too many hours. I'm not going to pay this. That can be the entry into the conversation.
Okay, so we've got two issues here. And I'm going to be tough. I'm going to put my tough hat on now. The tough Joyce is saying, then legal nurse consultants, why did you get into this situation? And the reason why I can say this so tough is because I'm not a legal nurse consultant, but I deal with people who argue about money all the time. Why did it cost this much? So I've learned, and I hope everyone is listening to this part, don't get into that situation. Ahead of time, tell them, the attorney, that tell me exactly what you need. They don't know, and I know they don't know always how long, you know, it's going to take them, but you still have to have that conversation. What are your expectations for this project? How many hours are you envisioning me doing it? And the attorney may say, well, you tell me, you're the legal nurse, consultant. So then figure out a range. It's going to take maybe up to, 30 hours. And then if the attorney says, oh, no, what? Because if your hourly rate, I'm not paying, at least you know ahead of time. And that's when you can, and it's hard turning, but none of us want to turn business away. But when we've got jerks, and I promise I'm not going to swear whenever I've got a microphone in my right in front of me, but sometimes people who our clients are jerks. They want to take advantage. And I'm sorry, coaches and legal nurse consultants, we are people pleasers. We want to make people happy. So the thing is, though, you get to a point after you've haven't made someone happy, you've got to learn and say, what did I do? What could I do different? So this is a, and I'm going to read this because I'm in the process of creating a new blog post pertaining to some of the things that you and I talked about in our, you know, our pre-conversation, Pat. How about this? I want to do a good job for you, Mr. or Ms. Attorney, and I need to finish asking questions without interruptions so I can do a great job. Let's talk about deadlines, expectations. Be real with them. Tell them it can't be done. Don't be afraid to say no. I can't meet your expectations, but you always want to say, I want to work with you. I don't want to disappoint you. We need to be realistic on both of our sides so we're both happy. Now, that isn't mean. Did that sound mean to you?
No, not at all.
Now, I am on being interviewed, so my energy may be a little bit, you know, heightened. When and if I had this conversation, I'd lower my decibels a little bit. Hard for me. But we have to have these tough conversations before so that we don't have this situation. Does this, am I speaking your language here, Pat, or not?
Yes, yes. I think prevention, we know from a medical perspective, right, is always better than the cure. You always can put your power behind trying to take a problem and avoid it. The medical analogy that immediately comes to mind is that when people start deteriorating in a hospital, if you can intervene with a rapid response team, the odds are far better than if the nurse walks in and finds the patient in a state of cardiac arrest, and then the team tries to bring the patient back.
There you go.
So if you can intervene in that conflict and prevent it from the outset, everybody comes out ahead.
And you said the word bully before. Well, let's talk about, is that okay if we jump into this for a minute?
Please do.
Okay. Because let's say you deal with a bully. I'm married to an attorney. So I hear him always talk about the attorneys with the big egos and how hard it is for him, attorney to attorney, to get the papers, to get the reports on time. Or they agreed not to pay and all of a sudden my husband gets a bill from the other attorney, whatever the situation is. Same thing with the legal nurse consultants. So knowing that some, not all attorneys are bullies, obviously not all doctors, not all everybody, but we have bullies everywhere. I've had a couple bullies in my life. And this is when people say, oh, no, not you. Oh yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I do what I do. So if you have a bully, talking about preventative, if you're caught off guard, and it's okay to be caught off guard, and this bully bullied you in a conversation, that's when you gotta do this preventative stuff that you were just talking about, Pat, and actually say to him or her, the next time, you gotta think about it, I was caught off guard the last time when I was explaining what I needed to do and talking about expectations, and I was interrupted and I felt that I wasn't heard. And I just need to let you know, I don't want to create stress between us. I do want to create a great report. I need your help here. What's wrong with saying that? Mm-hmm. No, I want you to push back, because if you think that's too strong, let me know. Is that too strong?
Doesn't sound strong to me.
So let me analyze it. Let me take it apart. This is a strategy that, I mean, I've got tons of strategies, but this is the one. If you deal, this it's called making conversation safe. This is the second, third. This is the third step in my Weiss communication success plan, making conversations safe. I don't want to, I do want to. So my example, I don't want to create stress between us, Mr. or Ms. Jerk. I do want to set realistic expectations. I mean, that's after you say I was caught off guard. I was caught off guard is such a safe thing, because then you're talking about yourself. You're not the victim. Therefore, if you got a bully, you're standing up to this bully. Now, I've got to tell you, it may backfire. Everything that I'm going to tell you today, it's not a golden perfection conversation that works all the time. It may backfire. The thing is, you're going to feel better about yourself because you changed your conversation. You were heard. If this attorney is not listening to you and you did that, then at least it's an indication that you did something, even though he or he just couldn't, you know, they don't even want it because they're thinking of us as less than them. That's their problem. Do not have them make you feel that way. That's up to all of us, all of the listeners. It's up to us to feel good about ourselves and not anybody tear us apart. And I'm saying that not as just because it's maybe in my notes somewhere. I don't have notes here. I've lived it. And that's what I do with all my clients. First, you've got to start with your mindset, Pat. I'm good. I'm great at what I do. This is not Joy saying it. This is for everybody else. I'm good. I'm not going to let anybody, you know, rain on my parade. I've got great skills. I need to be strong in my communication, whatever it is to feed you instead of, oh my God, I'm so afraid he or she's going to scream on me. I'm going to lose my cool. No. Then guess what? It's going to be a lousy interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
I think you're pointing out that part of this is our mindset in terms of how we react. And part of it, I think, is how you handle the conversation. You and I talked before this podcast about the trigger of interruption, which is my personal trigger. It's on my forehead that says, do not interrupt me. Interrupting is rude. It got embedded in my brain when I was growing up. I also discovered, incidentally, when I married a man from India, that interrupting is an American concept, but it's not necessarily an Indian concept. So as I sat around the table listening to my husband's family when we got a chance to meet them in 1972, and they were all interrupting each other, I'm thinking, oh, wow, isn't this unusual? How does anyone understand what anyone else is saying? Because it was a constant back and forth, and it was like a moving ship that was going down the river. I finally got to the destination, but with a lot of detours along the way. I bring this up because bullies are very prone to interrupting mm-hmm. and over talking you and not giving you a chance to even finish your sentence. What kind of strategies can we use when that happens?
Go throw a hard one at me. Go on. So this is so tough. I'm going to say one that may be way too, and I'm not saying that you do this to attorneys, but this works if it's a friend, if it's a relative, and they don't even know you're doing it. Why do I know this? I've done this four times. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pat, I want you to be real negative to me. I can't believe I'm doing this to you. You're interviewing me. I want you to just be really mean. And I want you to, I'm going to talk and I want you to interrupt while I'm talking. Okay. So listen, I really think, and then you interrupt me. I really think.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm a little slow on the uptake in terms of now, what is it that you want me to do, Joyce?
You just did it. So you're fine. You're off the hook. So I was talking, you were talking. And if this was, if you were one of my attorneys and he or she always does it, I would do this, not to the attorney, but to my friends. And I've done this. I actually just say, stop.
And for the audio recording, Joyce is putting her hand directly up against the camera lens or close to it.
And it works for that case scenario with attorneys. No, 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 because you don't want to do that. That's when you can say it may not work, but you could at least try. I want to hear, you know, George, Sally, I want to hear what you have to say after I finish my thought. This should shut them up. If it doesn't, you say it again, nicely. Oh, it's so hard. This is when you have to get into a gap. This is another strategy in the Weiss Communication Success Plan. You get into the gap before you open your mouth. When you open your mouth, you've got all kinds of things that you could decide what you want to say when you open it, what words come out. So the gap before you say something like, hey, I want to hear what you have to say. I need to finish my thought first. And you can even add a, you know, something funny. You know, I don't want to lose my train of thought. So ahead of time, before you open your mouth, though, get into the gap. Make a decision. What do you want to say? Do you want to say what I just said? I want to hear what you have to say. I need to finish my train of thought. Or are you going to say something more assertive?
Are you going to say something? Say that
more
again.
More assertive. Don't be afraid to say something. I'm frustrated when we've talked about expectations before we started, because everything was just changed and I did what I was supposed to do. And, you know, something's wrong here, or I am frustrated. That's another technique I'm throwing all at you. I'm frustrated. That's such a good word to use when you've got a bully. Bully could care less. Bully, you got to start just saying tough in a nice way. I want to hear what you have to say. I need to finish my thought first. If it's somebody that isn't that tough, you can just share your feelings. Most people don't feel heard. If you don't feel heard, I'm frustrated when we've talked about XYZ before, and because the project is over, we already talked about it, and the rules were changed, and prove, have your facts, put everything down in writing. But I know I find most people get into this predicament because of what you and I talked about before. They don't share their expectations with the attorney.
What do you do if there's some warning signs and yet the attorney is dangling in front of you a big case, a big project? You could get a lot of billable time out of that. What do you do to weigh the pros and cons of taking on that client with the warning signs in place?
You're asking someone who helps people kick conflict to the curb. So I've done it myself. Pat, this is the key for anybody. Legal nurse consultants, I don't know if you're going to like this one, but I got to tell you from my heart. When my gut and my client's guts are telling us trouble, red flags, I will not take it. We've all lost a lot of business in, you know, 2020 because of, not we all, many of us have. So this is not the time to turn away business. This is the time, though, to say, if I say no, and to really believe it, you're true to your school, that means something else is going to come that's even better. It is not worth the money. I know you may not like this answer, Pat. I don't care, because I know it myself. I bet you know it yourself. When you knew those red flags were there, did that ever happen to you? And did you take it? And did you say, ugh, or not?
No, I had an opportunity to start getting a lot of cases from a plaintiff attorney. And he was so demeaning and sarcastic in his interview with me. And he told me that he would have sued another legal nurse consultant who worked with him, but he found out she had no assets. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I have assets. I've got a house. I have a business. I went back after that interview and talked to three people whose opinions I trusted about this attorney, and then wrote him a letter and said I was far too busy to take on his cases, and should that ever change, I would let him know. And it never changed.
There, well, then you did exactly what I'm, either that case scenario, which is to me, we were talking the same story, or the other one, take it.
And
knowing,
live to regret it.
Yeah, live to regret it and know that you've lost the right to complain. You've lost the right, unless you're so strong and you set up those expectations before and you have everything in writing, but the gut doesn't lie. It does not lie. You don't want to listen to it sometimes because, oh my God, it's all that money that's going to come in. Uh-huh. Like all those ads on the TV, you get this, but the, you know, for a visa, but the, how much, you know, what kind of price can you put on peace or being with your family? It's the same kind of thing. Money, yay, yay. But you're going to hate yourself for it. Ugh, no.
Yeah. We had one attorney who we got into a case with, not realizing and not seeing any red flags. And then the red flags started popping up as we worked with him. It became a conditioned response in our office. Joe's on the phone. Oh, no. Oh, no. We finally got to the point of referring to him as he who shall remain nameless, because just the sound of his name and the fact that he was on the phone created this turmoil. And for inexperienced legal nurses who are listening to this, they may think, like, what could somebody do that would cause that kind of reaction? He was unreasonable. He didn't want to pay his bills. He made some elementary mistakes, like sending us his only copy of medical records, which weighed about 75 pounds. And then he wanted the expert witness to ship them back to him so he could use them for a deposition, but he didn't want to pay the shipping charges. And it just went on and on and on. We developed, actually, Joyce, a red flag system in our database. If somebody behaved in such a way that made him or her undesirable, they got a red flag. If they were questionable, maybe, you know, watch out for, there was an orange flag. And we marked those so that we would make sure that we didn't take cases from that attorney again, and therefore avoided some additional conflict with that person.
Well, that's perfect. And now what do we do with people who don't work in an organization? Let's say they're their own boss, or they're just a really small group. I would suggest, because I do this always in my classes, it's not just me teaching. You guys have to get into a mastermind without me and discuss things that come up in between, you know, sessions in the class. I would suggest that your legal nurse consultants, and you don't have to be just the newbies. I've been doing this, meaning speaking, coaching, consulting for over 30 years. I don't think I'm a newbie. I'm in three masterminds, and each one is different. One of them with coaches, and, you know, they're all different, but we talk about these things. What would you do if? And the answers, and of course you share your expertise too. I really would suggest, I mean, I don't know if your listeners like the idea. If they don't, that's okay. Start one and see what happens. And then tell me.
And this is a perfect opportunity to tell our listener that we have LNC Success Connection, which is a membership program that includes a mastermind component for discussions of just these kinds of challenges, opportunities to grow your business, opportunities to change up your marketing, working with clients. So if that's of interest, be sure to go to this link, lnc.tips/connection. And we can talk about having that program fit your needs and meet what you're looking for. In the remaining 30 seconds, Joyce, I know that people are going to want to know more about you, how to get more information from you. What would be the best way for them to connect with you?
Well, probably two. Number one, my email, joyce@joyceweiss.com. And that's W-E-I-S, as in Sam, S. And if you want to find out about two webinars coming up that are free, one is called How to Feel Heard When No One is Noticing Without Losing Your Cool. And the other one, Why Conflict is Good, send me an email and say, I want to be on the list. They're coming up soon. And the other one where people could sign up for their own free communication assessment at kickconflicttothecurb.com. They'll take their own assessment to see how their communication impacts their success at work. And they'll get four different videos from me within 3 weeks about some of these topics that we're talking about today. So that would be awesome to have them. Can I give my phone number if they wanted to reach out?
You could, if you wish.
Because if anybody's listening that would like to have a 15-minute free call, I'd love to do that. Let's say 20 minutes. That's 248-681-5831. And we could talk about whatever you want in those 20 minutes.
All right. And Joyce is in Michigan, so do pay attention to her time zone, which would be central, correct?
Eastern.
Oh, you are in Eastern.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So don't call her up at 3 o'clock in the morning. She may not be as pleasant as she is right now. Thank you, Joyce, so much for sharing your expertise with our listener. We appreciate you and we appreciate the strategic tips that you have given us. Those catchphrases that are particularly important, I think, is I want to hear what you say after I finish my train of thought. That's a golden phrase. There's another phrase that I've been talking with one of my family members who's been having some conflict, which is, I don't want to fight right now. I'm not going to fight with you. And you can't have an argument if the other person isn't willing to participate in the argument.
Stealing that from you. That's a great, because that's almost like me shoving the hand in their face and saying, stop. I don't want to fight right now. That's it. Nothing else.
It's gotten my husband and I through 51 years of marriage. I have to say that it's worked well for us on a personal level. And sometimes it's figuring out, are you angry about a situation or are you angry with your partner or your spouse? And often it's being able to say things like, I'm feeling vulnerable right now, which we say to each other on occasion, which means don't mess with me because you're not going to like the results.
That's perfect. That's just saying no. And guess what? Tomorrow, maybe you just needed time and you don't even get into it.
Yes.
Or you do.
Well, thank you so much, Joyce. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you who has spent the last 30 minutes with us as we talk about conflict resolution, maintaining pleasant, responsible relationships with our clients and not allowing them to bully us, browbeat us, or talk us into doing something that we don't want to do when we see those red flags. Be sure to come back next week for a new show, new topic. Thanks so much. This is Pat Iyer and Legal Nurse Podcast, and I have with me today Sherry Burke. Sherry and I have finished a podcast, and I would love for her to share the tips, the topics that we covered in this podcast, give you a little taste of what you will get when you listen to Sherry Burke's podcast. Sherry, what are the key things that we covered?
Oh, the key things we talked about was how a vision is important in your business, how it sets your direction. And if you aren't clear on how to do one, some tips on doing that, and how values and goals support you as the entrepreneur in achieving your direction. We also talked about how we accomplish things despite life happening and having setbacks, and some of the key things that help us move past those.
We've all had our share of setbacks and challenges in 2020, and I think that Sherry's show will give you a perspective on some of the strategies that you can use to keep yourself on an even keel. Be sure to pick up her show, Sherry Burke's show, and thank you for listening to Legal Nurse Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.